This is Jay Sekulow. It looks like hearings next week in the United States Congress. The issue, the September 11th attack on Benghazi.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
We do know that there are dozens of suspects. This flies right in the face of what the administration originally told us, that it was just some mob and a video that got out of control. I think what was very clear from the beginning of this attack, that it was very coordinated. There are terrorist activities that were active there in Benghazi in the months leading up to this. And of course, there are more than dozens of suspects.
And apparently those suspects are traced deep into Egypt.
A U.S. official tells Fox that the Jamal Network is committed to violence to attain its political ambitions, adding that they are hardcore violent extremists who are trying to develop a big relationship with Al-Qaeda. The Jamal Network takes its name from Muhammad Jamal Abu Ahmed, who was released from an Egyptian jail during the Arab Spring. It's also alleged that he set up training camps in eastern Libya, and this is where some of the militants trained who took part in the consulate attack.
With the election over, where do the investigations stand on Capitol Hill?
Well, two hearings are expected next week before the House and Senate Intelligence Committees. Both of these are scheduled to be closed. And in the 2 months since the attacks, Fox News is told that there are between 2 and 3 dozen suspects actively being investigated at any one time. The majority are Libyans, but the list has expanded to include these Egyptian suspects.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. I'm in our media center. Jordan and Than Bennett are in our offices in Washington, D.C. And there is new news, and we want to get right into this discussion. With the election complete, President Obama now will start a second term. The question that we're all asking ourselves is a lot of attention back on Benghazi, but also back on the situation as it relates right now to this funding issue of the Muslim Brotherhood. That request for $1.2 billion is out there. That's our taxpayer money that the government, our administration, I say our, it's the American people, our president wants to have released to the Muslim Brotherhoods without conditions, which I think is terribly troubling and problematic. Let me get a sense first, Than, where are we on that issue as we get into some of these other related issues, including it looks like some of the Benghazi planners were from Egypt, which even makes it more complicated.
Right. Well, on the Benghazi front, Jay, we said before this that this was not a political issue. This was about the security of the American people, and this is proof of that. Both the Senate Intelligence Committee and the House Intelligence Committee are moving forward with their investigations. We're going to have hearings next week. And, Jay, I'm telling you, we've talked about this before, but we're going to look back on this as one of the greatest scandals in American history. Some of that's going to come out next week in these hearings.
Jordan, you've got, I know, some interview requests that have come in because this issue is getting front and center again. Where do you see this going?
You know, it's another issue, I think, now that we're through the election, Congress will be back, and the leaders in Congress who were leading the charges to get information here are still going to be in Congress, not just in January, but right now. So this is not an issue that's going to go away just because President Obama was reelected. This is a bipartisan issue. It is one that affected the military, our intelligence, our diplomatic staff. So I think this is going to be a major issue, I think the major issue, other than the economy, that President Obama is going to have to deal with for months and months to come.
I absolutely agree, folks. I think the whole Middle East situation is going to be front and center. I think it is going to be significant, and the ACLJ is going to be fully engaged, not only in Washington, D.C., but in Jerusalem. I'm actually meeting on Monday with the deputy and the deputy foreign minister for the State of Israel, Danny Aiello, to discuss these issues, to get a framework. You've got situations brewing with Iran. You've got trouble with Egypt. You've got this request for money and support coming in from Egypt, basically $1.2 billion. It's going to be front and center. And as Jordan just said, Than just said as well, Congress is back in session next week. Folks, there's going to be hearings on these issues, and we're going to be fully engaged. You know what? The battle goes on. We don't stop. Okay, the election's over. It's done. You deal with what you've got. This is what we've got. We're going to press forward on the key issues of the day. We'll be taking your calls when we come back at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. As I said on yesterday's broadcast, we are in a membership drive at the ACLJ. We've got a matching challenge right now. Go to aclj.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. That's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org.
It's a very challenging time. The push to alter the legal and political landscape has never been more intense, putting at risk our Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the ACLJ is aggressively countering organizations like the ACLU and Planned Parenthood, battling it out in the courts, in Congress, in the public arena. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Make a difference. Join the ACLJ today. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or sign up online aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nardacani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Can I encourage you to do something today and tomorrow? We are on a membership drive here at the ACLJ. We're going to do this a couple of times a year. You can join the ACLJ. There's no charge for it, but we do encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. All gifts are tax deductible, and we're in a matching challenge, which means any amount you give, whether it's $10 or $20 or $50, we get a match for. So go to aclj.org, and you can sign up right there. It really takes seconds to do it. Or you can go and call us at 1-877-989-2255. I'll send you Foundations of Freedom. You'll get a whole membership package, actually, when you join the ACLJ. So do something for us. We could use the help, especially this time of year, as you see us fully engaged in so many of these critical issues. That's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. And I encourage you to join us today. Bill's calling on line 4. He's from Wyoming. Hi, Bill.
Thank you for letting me on. I've got a question concerning the investigation. Do you think your personal opinion, do you think that the administration is going to try and forestall this or keep it from coming through?
Well, I don't think the information is going to be flattering to the administration. That's my personal view. So I think you're going to expect some stonewalling. You're already seeing document refusals to be released. But you got Daryl Issa on this, who's very aggressive on these issues, but I do expect that we're going to look at the legal issues here. That's what we're fully engaged in. Jordan Than, what do you all think? I expect it's going to be quite an issue.
It will be an issue. Certainly, I agree with Bill that it will be tougher. You'll have to fight harder to get the facts and information. It's a different scenario, different paradigm, if you will, from where we were a month ago talking about an issue like this, because it's not the political ramifications, immediate political ramifications,
right,
of a presidential race to be reelected president. But remember, there are midterm elections. President Obama wants to get things done. He wants some of his agenda through. That's not going to be happening with a House dominated by conservative Republicans. So he's going to be looking towards the next couple of years, coming on some compromise. And you would think, I would hope, Bill, that some of this compromise would be finally now coming clean about everything that happened with Benghazi and who is involved. And if you remember, Deb, when we were back once in Israel, one of our first trips there, we were near Sinai on the Israeli border with Egypt. And we saw the Israeli jets come over very close to the Egyptian border.
Yeah.
And one of our guides said just over the border in Sinai is an Al-Qaeda-affiliated terror compound. And that looks like the group who is now working with the group in Libya that carried out this attack.
Yeah, I asked Will Haynes if they are officially part of Al-Qaeda. It looks like they've applied for membership, so to speak. Yeah. Than, what are you expecting to see as it relates to the hearings. I expect that the administration is going to want to forestall this as long as they can. But as Jordan said, they're going to have to be careful here because they want to get agenda items through, and this is a big issue for the American people, and we're past the politics of it now. Now it's the reality of what actually happened.
Yeah, they're certainly going to try to forestall this, Jay, for the simple fact the facts are so unflattering. But like you said, the upside of the election's passing, I'm not saying that's a good thing, but the upside of it is that now the president can't write this off as politically motivated. Now this is Republicans and Democrats asking the question about why Americans died, why the administration was following it in real time and yet declined to send people in to rescue or to help or to support those people who died. These are serious questions.
Yep.
It can no longer be written off as political, and that's why they're going to have a harder time pushing it off.
Yeah, interesting. Bill Hemmer was discussing this with Catherine Herod. She is their reporter that deals with these issues. Take a listen.
With the election over, where did the investigation stand on Capitol Hill?
Well, two hearings are expected next week before the House and Senate Intelligence Committees. Both of these are scheduled to be closed. And in the 2 months since the attacks, Fox News is told that there are between 2 and 3 dozen suspects actively being investigated at any one time. The majority are Libyans, but the list has expanded to include these Egyptian suspects.
You know, it's interesting that the Egyptian suspects here, because this is part of the problem. And Jordan just pointed out something. When we were in Israel on one of our trips, we were right at the border. In the Sinai. And I mean, an Israeli Air Force jet flew over our head at probably 300 or 400 feet. And talking to the personnel that were with us from the government and also from the Ministry of Tourism, they said there's an Al-Qaeda cell group, as Jordan said, right over the border. So this is a big problem, which raises, of course, the other issue, which is this is all going on. What do you expect is going to happen to these hearings?
They're going to be closed.
We know the hearings are closed.
Yeah, they're going to be closed, but some of this information could come out of the fact. They just have to make sure that classified material doesn't release without being, you know, talked about first. But listen to the people who are testifying. You're talking about David Petraeus, Matt Olson, who, remember, acknowledged that this was terrorism, and also James Clapper of the CIA. Remember, the CIA also got blamed for a lot of this. So you're going to bring them all into one room, and they're not going to be able to point the finger without the people that they're pointing the finger at being sitting right next to them. So they'll all be in one room. They'll all have to answer the same questions.
And the House hearing, I understand, is open. The Senate is closed. We'll have representatives from the ACLJ there, folks. We're going to let you know how to engage this issue on Monday. As I said, I'm meeting with Danny Aiello, the Deputy Foreign Minister of the State of Israel. He'll be in the United States, and we're going to be meeting. We do a lot of work, obviously, with Israel, so this is going to be a very interesting one, which brings up the point, folks. A lot of people don't realize this. We actually have an American Center for Law and Justice office in Jerusalem. I mean, right in the heart of Jerusalem. And it's not an Israeli Center for Law and Justice. It's an ACLJ office in Jerusalem. David Benjamin, who was on the broadcast about 2 weeks ago, is our senior counsel there. Rami Levy, former ambassador for Israel, heads up our government affairs office. It's a big operation as far as impact goes for Israel, and it deals with a lot of international and global security issues. But I want to say this. It also is strategically located. And Jordan, as you've worked with that office, and Fan has worked with it as well, but Jordan, as you've worked with that office, the impact on that situation right now in the Middle East is so significant that American influence that we can bring to that is also significant.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a situation we saw in the exit polls. The foreign policy was very low on why people were voting. It was a small percentage. But that's because the economy is, of course, a top concern, entitlement programs, social welfare programs, and the list goes on. But at the same time, you can't ignore foreign policy because it doesn't care about your elections. It doesn't move and change because of a new election or re-election. We know that the Iranians, think about what they said. The moment President Obama was re-elected, they said, don't expect any talks with us. Now, so you've got the nuclear Iran situation. You have Benghazi. You have Islamist. I heard Bashir Assad on TV today talking about if he's thrown out, the Islamists that will take over Syria, trying to make some threats there. So he's now coming out and basically challenging the Western world, as he said, to just try and see what happens when I go. Just like what's happened in Egypt, Libya, and other places where you may have had leaders that were questionable, but if you push them out the wrong way and don't control what happens next and at least fund the right side, you're going to be stuck with maybe different leaders, but just as bad or worse for the United States.
All right, we're going right back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. And, folks, this is the reason why I want you to join with us. If you're not a member of the ACLJ, pick up the phone right now and say, you know what, I've been listening to this broadcast. I appreciate the work of the ACLJ. Join the ACLJ. We're going to send you our Foundations of Freedom. You'll get a whole series of emails that we have, email alerts that do not go out to the general public. This is special information for our Law and Justice members. So I want to encourage you to join the ACLJ today. It's very easy to do it. It's ACLJ.org, or you can call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. And if you want to make an online gift to the ACLJ, hey, folks, it's a matching challenge. So any amount you donate, we get a match for. So let me encourage you to do that at ACLJ.org. I'm going to go to Matthew. He's online, too, out of California. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, Jay, long-time listener, first-time caller. Thank you.
Great.
My call.
Very good.
What I trust that there's very smart, intelligent people that make these decisions. What was the original purpose of the $1.2 billion being sent to Egypt? And if that purpose has changed, why do we even need to collect names and signatures to halt sending that money?
Well, we're collecting names and signatures to halt sending the money because they're going to release it at any moment. Here's the irony of this. This money was originally designated mostly for the Egyptian military because they were a stabilizing force in the region. But understand, when Morsi, the president of Egypt, came into power, led by the Muslim Brotherhood, he terminated the generals that were running the military and instead installed a pro-Islamist military leaders. So basically, at least half this money, Than, was allocated for the military. And that's part of the problem here.
No question about it. I actually talked to Chairman Jim Jordan's staff about this morning, Jay, and they are very concerned that this money is going to start going out the door immediately. Remember, of the $1.5 billion we send to Egypt every year, $1.3 was for the military. And of this new $1.2 billion, it's even worse, Jay, because we actually aren't going to attach any conditions to it. There were some before that Hillary Clinton waived back in March. This money's not going to have any conditions on it, so all of it could end up with the military.
I'll tell you, folks, let me tell you what's happening next week. We've got this issue brewing with the funds going to Egypt. We've got Benghazi hearings starting. And you ready for this? Palestinian Authority is also going to be moving for statehood next week. So you can imagine that next week on the broadcast, we're going to have a whole action plan for you to go forward and really engage this issue. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. The fact, Jordan, that the election is over does not mean that these issues are over. In fact, it takes them out of the political realm and puts it into the reality of what we have to deal with for global security.
When it comes down to foreign policy and foreign affairs and the offices that we have all over the world, the work that we do, I'm heading over to an embassy this afternoon. It's as if the election happened and everybody kind of takes it in and you got to move on because there's a lot of work that has to be done regardless of who the president of the United States is.
That, you know, that's exactly right. Back to the task at hand. Hey, folks, if you want Foundations of Freedom, want to become a member of the ACLJ, 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Again, 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. It's a very challenging time. The push to alter the legal and political landscape has never been more intense, putting at risk our Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the ACLJ is aggressively countering organizations like the ACLU and Planned Parenthood, battling it out in the courts, in Congress, in the public arena. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Make a difference. Join the ACLJ today. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or sign up online, aclj.org.
You know, top Muslim Brotherhood officials said, quote, we must rely on ourselves and our resources and build our country. In the absence of direct American influence, Egypt can affect and lead the process of building a democratic and constitutional regime that will become a dream for African and the Southern Hemisphere. But it doesn't say they don't want our $1.5 billion. Than, what's the reality of where that money is right now and what's going to happen? I mean, I think the pressure is going to be really intense.
No, it could be released any day now that the election is passed. And, Jay, the Muslim Brotherhood also said today that the only foreign policy change that Obama can bring is by accepting the will of the Arab people. Well, I have to tell you, that's not the president's job, and neither is funding them. But he could do that at any day, and frankly, I somewhat expect it.
Jordan, you got a meeting with the Southern Sudanese. What's the situation there? Now, President Obama, I guess, was supportive of the of their liberation.
He was supportive of their vote for independence. That was actually set up, though, under the Bush administration, the five-year timeline. But he talked about in the State of the Union. They are very much one of those U.S. allies stuck right on the border of Islamic extremists. They are, of course, broke off from Sudan, so right by Egypt, right by Libya, surrounded to the north by extremists who pour in, and it's predominantly a Christian country. And you know, there was talk about Israel maybe being involved in an airstrike on Sudan to the north of them, but this is a terror sponsor that they broke off from, and they're trying to survive. So I think for a lot of this foreign policy that we're talking about, it's let the Americans go about their election. But they also, I think it tells a lot about how they see us. They realize that in the United States of America, unlike most places in the world, and that knowing what sides we're on and partisanship and all of that, that 2 days later, we're all right back to just getting the job done, that we're still Americans. There's not fighting in the streets. There's a real legitimate election process. And that does tell you what they think about us and our process and how they see it as a transfer or as someone who stays in power. And, you know, even if you had a court battle going on right now, life doesn't stop. There's not AK-47s in the street.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to watch all of this develop in the months and weeks ahead. And the ACLJ fully engaged. Timothy's on line three from Florida. Hi, Timothy. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yes, how you doing, Mr. Sekulow?
Good.
Thank you for having me today.
Call me Jay, but go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No problem.
My question is, why isn't this what happened in Benghazi being addressed at a presidential level? Because it's the president's responsibility, ultimately, to protect the American citizens. And what was the real agenda behind allowing these men to die over in Benghazi?
Well, I don't think there was an agenda. I think it was a colossal failure of defense and security. That's what this really was at the end of the day. It was interesting because it came up in one of the debates, but it was not heavily approached by either Governor Romney or President Obama, and Jordan raised an interesting issue because it never really did come to the forefront, although it was simmering the entire time the election was going on.
Yeah, I mean, you had a situation where the president himself, on these kind of topics, was able to pass off to others to talk about. You didn't get the full-scale investigation, and I think when you're talking about politics, if you're just looking at the politics of this, the president's campaign team wanted as long as possible to keep this off because this would, again, it's a messaging issue. It's a distraction issue from voters. But the truth is, I think, as shocking of an issue as it still is, that we're not getting the truth, the facts, and the real info on this, the bottom line is that a lot of that was up to the electorate as well, who did not demand more. I mean, I think you have to look back and be realistic. And you look back at this election, you can say there are people who are very concerned. But even if they are very concerned, that wasn't in their top five issues. You know, it may have been number six, it may have been number five, but it was not in the top four.
Well, it's interesting to see how this all plays out, folks, because the reality is, and I think we have to be cognizant of this, is going to be quite a week next week, Than, at the UN, also in Capitol Hill. And we've got information going out to the UN, missions to the UN regarding the Palestinian Authority's latest attempt to try to get statehood recognition. We fought that battle last year. We're going to be fighting it again this year. And then you've got these hearings. What do you expect coming out of these hearings, Than?
Well, these hearings, a couple of things, Jay. First of all, this is going to be something that the president is going to have to respond for. I mean, these guys that are testifying, Clapper and Petraeus and Olson, they are going to piece together this story for the committees. And I really do think what that's going to point to is it's going to point to the fact that the president was involved at some point. But, Jay, there is a piece of this that the president cannot avoid. He might be able to avoid owning up to the events of that night, but he cannot avoid the fact that for 2 months he told the American people a story that he knew was not true. That's something that even though he's been reelected, even though he's got another 4 years, he's going to have to answer to. And the first piece of that is hearing the story next week.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think the reality is that we fight the good fight, and we're going to be right there in the middle of it next week. I mean, it's going to be an unbelievable week next week in Washington. I'm going to be meeting, as I said, Jordan's meeting with the South Sudanese today. I'm meeting with the foreign minister from Israel on Monday. We've got fans handling hearings in Washington, D.C., on Benghazi, and we've got a team that is working on and has dispatched information already to various U.N. missions on the Palestinian statehood issue. So this is next week at the ACLJ. Let me tell you, it is foreign affairs at high levels. Folks, again, let me encourage you, join with us today at the ACLJ. I want to send you Foundations of Freedom. I want you to send you our member information package. Just go to aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Sean is on line 2 from Colorado. Hi, Sean.
Hey, how are you doing, Jay?
Good.
I just wanted to comment on the fact that I am amazed that after the election, the president is still not really acknowledging the fact that the American people have clearly spoken out on the issue of funding, you know, these governments controlled by the Arab Brotherhood.
We've said Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, not all Arabs are members of the Muslim Brotherhood. I want to be very clear. There's a lot of Arab Christians.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Let's talk about that issue, because you bring up a good point, and that is there's been a lot of outcry in this, but then mechanically what happens here? I mean, we heard from, I think, almost 200,000 people,
right,
maybe more. Let me get the number on that, actually. I'll get on that, work on that now. Go ahead.
Mechanically, what happens, this is money that the Congress has appropriated, Jay, but listen, the administration can release it, but what they can't do is release it without conditions, and that's what they want to do. So mechanically speaking, the president can release that funding. It would be Congress's obligation to speak out against it. They've done so, and it would be their obligation in the out years to just quit giving the administration this money if they're going to, you know, do it.
We thought the money was going to be released 2 weeks ago. We shut that down, which was really great. What is the chance of, let's say, between now and Christmas, shutting it down?
We can do it, but the only way we can do it is if the American people make this an issue. If the president can do it in silence, Jay, he is going to do it. And the key thing here is Egypt, right now, they're not our ally, Jay. Why are we sending them money?
I know that. I mean, and Jordan in the middle, and in Israel, it's certainly not going to be the ally either. I mean, Egypt is no ally of Israel any longer. And those peace treaties haven't been repudiated yet, but they're very, very dangerous.
I think you have to call them out. I mean, they're saying they don't want Western influence, that our president of the United States has to accept the way that they want to govern, you know, putting Sharia law into their entire constitution, which is freaking out. That, you know, the new pope of the Coptic Christians is actually not political, but he's come out over the weekend and been very political because of the new constitution basically guarantees no rights, the drafts that have been talked about for Christians. So all these issues, if they're going to say, we don't want your influence, we're going to have this, we're going to do that, then I think you have to say, if you're going to keep making these comments and you're going to act on them, then you don't get our money.
By the way, with between internet and the phones, over 200,000 people. That's some very impressive folks contacted us on this, and so far we've kept that money from being released. Hey, folks, we're going to be here for another half hour, so keep calling at 1-800-684-3110. If you're on the line, stay there. Hey, I want everybody that hasn't joined the ACLJ, will you do it today? Simply go to aclj.org. You make that online donation. It's matched. $10 becomes $20. We'll send you Foundations of Freedom. You'll get an information kit, or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 to join the ACLJ. Or go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. You make that online gift, we get a matching grant. aclj.org. Back with more in a moment.
Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Make a difference. Join the ACLJ today. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or sign up online, aclj.org.